back again doing looking back through the files of the Bunyip. My name is Kay. I'm one of your readers along with Jeanette. Hello, Jeanette.
Hi, Kay.
Yep, it's always nice to be back here in the Cultural Heritage Research Centre at the bottom of the Gawler Town Hall, now the Gawler Civic Centre in Murray Street. This week's Looking Back is from the Bunyip, Wednesday, September 14, 2022. And the first story is 150 years ago, mail accident. One of the horses harnessed to the Tanunda Mail on Tuesday, peremptorily declining to go on duty, came to the ground in Murray Street, breaking the pole at the same time. Fortunately, no harm ensued beyond the delay in procuring another conveyance. Oh, God, I love the language.
Yes.
So he didn't want to go forward, so he threw himself down on the ground and broke the pole. I think they would have been swapping him.
Yep.
Finding out why he was doing that.
Yes. That's a horse with a mind of its own, or?
A horse has always got a mind of their own. No, yes. Normally they will behave, but I must, you know, watch the procession last night taking the Queen's casket from Buckingham Palace to Westminster Hall, and two of the horses that didn't have riders, like there's six pulling the gun carriage, three of them had riders on the left-hand side, and the three on the right-hand side didn't have riders, and two of the three on the right-hand side kept snipping at the horse on the left. It was like, oh, you want to just get in there, and like, get over. And I can't do that with the world watching.
No.
So it was very funny. I felt for those people riding. I really
anyway. Yes, that's why there were so many road accidents back in the days of horses.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
You know, that.
Yeah, a lot of people died falling off horses.
Oh, yes. My great-great-grandfather was killed riding home from a school council meeting.
Oh, really?
At night, yeah.
Yeah, I think one of my ancestors fell off his horse, but apparently he was blind drunk. But he died as a result of the fall, so yes, but he was drunk. So I don't know what that says, Ben.
I think that was fairly common back then. There was no...
That was a drunk riding. And you still can get pulled over for drunk riding, because some friends went on a winery tour on horseback and some of them got breathalyzed.
Wow. Okay.
And because basically a horse is regarded as a motor vehicle.
Yeah.
Even though you don't have to have a license to ride them on the road, they have road rights. And yes, apparently they got chatted to by the police for being drunk riding. It's like, oh, really?
Well, same with push bike riding.
Yeah.
You can get into trouble for being over the limit, which is a good reason. So 100 years ago, 48 hours, a revision to the original standard of Australia. Employers and workmen alike have been deeply interested in the deliberations of the full court of the Federal Arbitration Court to fix the standard hours in the engineering and building trades, and incidentally to govern the time to be employed in other industries in the states. The court's decision has now been announced, and the standard time is to revert to the 48 hours per week in lieu of the 44 granted by Mr. Justice Higgins in November 1920. Now, Mr. Justice Higgins was quite well known, and I remember the Arbitration Commission was a very hot topic because when I was researching for my first novel, set during the Depression, there was a rhyme, a nursery rhyme almost, about Justice Higgins.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I
don't know what it was. But, yes, and it was to do with the Arbitration Court.
Wow.
So,
Oh, well, it was quite big then, and with good reason. People were being exploited quite terribly.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
So he wasn't entirely popular, though, I believe.
Especially not with the employers.
Not in the building trade.
No, they'd want it. Well, I remember my dad was a builder, and they'd leave work. Like the men that worked for him would come, and they'd be gone by 7:30 in the morning. They'd get back about 4:30, 5 o'clock at night, and or maybe even later. And they were long working days for those guys. And, you know, they had a short break for lunch and
in all weathers.
And tea, but
my grandfather was a bricklayer. He had skin cancer, not dangerous, but on his nose, apparently. But he was a ginger.
Oh.
So he would have had the worst kind of skin to be on building sites.
Absolutely.
There's a photo of him dancing a jig or something on top of a chimney. He used to build chimney stacks, and he was on top of one of those industrial chimneys dancing.
No harness, no doubt.
No harness, no safety.
Yeah. 50 years ago, residents up in arms over dogs. a petition seeking the removal of 12 dogs from a property in Daly Street, Gawler East, has been sent to the Premier and to Gawler Town Council. Bearing more than 40 signatures of people resident in Daly Street and nearby areas, the petition was presented at last week's council meeting. The petitioners asked that investigation be made with a view to removing a serious nuisance caused by 12 dogs kept at an address in Daly Street. Well, I can imagine that noise from 12 dogs would be pretty
And if they
solid.
Weren't well cared for and were savage. When I was a very young child, we had neighbours with greyhounds and they were pretty savage and I was terrified of them. Absolutely I was too scared to go home from school some days. I'd get to the gate and had this great big green wrought iron gate and these dogs would be leaping at the gate and I was so frightened. So, 25 years ago, Diana Image, an image of Princess Diana on the veranda of a Malala house, is causing interest, with about 20 people making a pilgrimage to see it. The occupant of the house, Mrs. Stena Sontag, said a bleached area on her front veranda appeared on the day of Princess Diana's funeral. It appeared as a damp patch, and visitors to the house can also recognise the profile likeness of Princess Diana. Okay. I don't think I can comment on that one.
That happening. It was really quite weird. You can see people see effigies in potato crisps and clouds. And
well,
stuff
I see
like
pictures
that.
All the time in our curtains and on the floor. And the funny thing is they change.
Yeah.
Different days I'll see something different in the same. But I love that kind of looking
it's
at...
imagination.
I love
too.
Those sorts of patterns that you can see things in your brain.
Yeah, you have to. It's part of the human imagination,
it is.
I think, to imagine things.
Paternalia, I think. Yeah, see patterns and see images and things.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a name for it.
10 years ago, history-making triple winners. History was made on Monday night when Tanunda's Sam Agars, Luke Wills and Kapunda's Jason Buckets McKenzie tied for the BL and GFA Best and Fairest, the Schluter Medal. That's the Barossa Light and Gawler Football Association, I suppose, BL and GFA. The Schluter Medal. Agars polled 3 votes and Wells 2 in the final round to leave the players tied on 14 votes each in what is the first 3-way league Best and Fairest win in the competition's history. It is also believed to be the first time a male medal has been rewarded to 3 players after a count in any competition. I think you actually have to know football jargon to really understand what that's about.
Actually, I did editing for the Bunyip, and it is a jargon, it's a different language. I had real trouble doing the sports pages because there were so many terms I just wasn't familiar with.
Yeah.
I couldn't
Listen to the TV news rather than watch it, and if you don't know... Sometimes when they introduce a segment and then they'll have a picture, but they don't actually say, oh, this is the golf or this is the cricket. And they'll just launch into the score. And I think, well, if you were listening to it like I sometimes listen, and if you weren't familiar with those terms, you'd be wondering what the heck they're talking about.
Yes. Well, I read that and I had no idea what it was about.
Some of our listeners.
Yes, I'm sure they will.
I'm sure they know and they feel it's important that they'll share that information with us.
Okay, so go to the Gawler Now and Then, and it's a photo of the Hutchinson Hospital Fete, October 1948. The fete was part of a fundraising event towards a building of new nurses' quarters. Prizes were awarded to the nurses who raised the most money. Pictured are Ruth Muster, Mayor Elsie I, Rinna Mary McMahon, brackets Attio, and Betty Clopper, brackets Jacob. Now,
LCI wasn't the mayor.
No.
She was the mayor's wife.
Yes, she was the mayoress. I looked at that last night and thought, that's not correct.
Just
he was mayor.
Yeah, really sloppy, isn't it?
It is, yes.
LCI, kindergarten.
Yes, she was an amazing woman.
She was an amazing woman.
A very remarkable woman.
She should have probably been mayor, but never mind.
Yes, she probably deserved to be, but she wasn't. And
So you've got a number of names in there that are local. Muster... I've just grown up with Musters and just know that that's how you say it. And Attio, well, Tony Attio was a vet.
Oh, yes.
So Mary McMahon, she must have been married Attio, maybe.
Yes, that's...
And Betty Clopper, Betty Jacob, of course.
That would be their maiden, Atio would be a maiden name.
No, married name.
Yes, married name, okay.
Yeah, Betty Jacob was Betty Clopper.
Right, yeah. Okay. So
she was actually a councillor, Gawler Town councillor for a long time.
Right.
And, only passed away about 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Amazing people.
Yes. Yes, there's quite a few remarkable women in Gawler's history that deserve more recognition than they get.
And throughout history,
yes,
really.
Yeah. And I think we've got a few examples just in that one image of some of those women.
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
So wraps it up for this week, doesn't it, Janine?
Yes, it does. Okay, until next week, Kay.
Until then, we'll see you. And bye to our listeners. I was going to say readers, that's not right.
We're the readers. Bye.
For all life.